want to preach this. I don't want to. It's necessary. It's valuable. But I don't want to. It's uncomfortable. See, what we're speaking about tonight gets to the heart, I mean the disgusting heart of human depravity. We are talking about immoral abuse. We are talking about molestation, rape, terrible things that I don't want to say in mixed company. I don't want to say in front of kids. And I'm going to be as careful as I possibly can. But we in this country have a problem. We in this world have a problem, and we have always had this problem. What sin was it that immediately began to come out during the Garden of Eden or after the Garden of Eden? What came out? Impurity and immoral behavior in that impurity. And what did God do when he looked down and he saw that the evil was continually in the heart of man? What did he do? He flooded the place. When he saw impurity and immorality in Sodom and Gomorrah, what did he do? He firebombed the place. God looks at this particular sin, not any different from any particular sin, but all sin he condemns. And we have seen his anger, and we have felt its effects on our lives when it comes down to this sin. We cannot turn on the television. We cannot drive down the road. You cannot have a conversation in the break room without impurity and immorality surrounding. It breaks my heart when I hear sermons written back in the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s. Oh, we got to be careful. Don't watch this stuff. Don't watch this stuff. The more you watch this stuff, the more you let your kids watch this stuff, the worse their behavior is going to be. And people sat there and said, what a cult leader. What a fool. What a fearmonger to tell us that we shouldn't watch certain things for fear of what would happen. Let's go ahead and take a look at the state of things today. Were we not told to be careful with this homosexuality stuff? Oh, we were. And then they put it on the TV and people thought it was funny because the characters were clowns. Which, by the way, that's how you get people's attention. You send in the clowns and it softens the thing. And we laughed. No, it's not bad. It's funny. It's funny. And at first it was, well, no, this person would never go with that. How many politicians in the 80s and the 90s, and I'll give you two big ones, Hillary Clinton was against homosexual marriage. Joe Biden was against homosexual marriage. They're the first ones to call the other politicians racist, bigots, homophobes today. Should have heard some of the things they have sound bites of them saying. Things shift. Things change. But one thing we understand is that when you bring hypersexuality into the home, you're burning it down. You're burning it down. And it does not have to be displayed in front of the kids. Oh, I've learned this. I thought at a certain age, as long as I can keep things up from my kids, they'll never get to it. Right? So if we've got like sharp objects, knives, I'll keep my knife up here, they'll never find it. I'll put my scissors over here, they'll never get to them. Right? I'll make sure there's no stools anywhere near the kitchen so they can't drag them into the kitchen and touch the stove when it's on. That's what I can do. Now that I've gotten older, I've realized it doesn't matter if I hide it, they already know it's there. I don't know how it happened, but I remember it for me when I was a kid. My parents thought they were clever. I always knew where the stuff was. Folks, what we're going to read tonight is what happens when evil, masquerading as a good time, masquerading as illness, enters into the home. Verse 1, and it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. That word subtle is never used in a good way. Never used in a good way. It was used for the serpent in the garden. And folks, that connotation is still there in this passage of Scripture. Coming in like a snake. And of course, we know in verse 4 what it is that he devises, and he said unto him, Why art thou being the king's son, lean from day to day? Why have you lost so much weight? Why do you look so miserable? What's with the bags under your eyes? You look gaunt, my friend. Well, you're the king's son. Why are you so down looking? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto Absalom, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Now I want you to pay really close attention to how Amnon put that. You see that? Isn't it funny how we always got a different way of saying stuff so it don't look so bad? He didn't say half-sister, did he? Why? Because that looks bad. Sounds bad. Doesn't ring right in the ear. It's my brother's sister. You guys share a dad, right? Yeah. That's your sister. And of course, we could sit there and get into the family ties and names and what we call each other. It doesn't matter. What he was wanting to do was gross, immoral sin. It was wrong. But what did he do? He thought it'd be cute and he'd rename it. And oh man, the shame that we try to avoid, but we dive in deeper when we try to rename the sin that we have. You're not ending a pregnancy, you're committing murder, you're ending a life. It's not, well, it's abortion. This isn't a cartoon where I've hit a big button and somebody gets ejected out of the seat. You didn't abort somebody you murdered someone, you ended a life, but we put a different name to it. You didn't have an affair, you had a fling. It's not molestation, it's the age of consent. You following me? We're messing with things. And we try to rename them to soften what our sin is. You know what? It doesn't matter what wordplay you use. God knows it for what it is. You can lie to me. You can lie to society. But God's got us dead to rights when it comes down to our sin. I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down on thy bed, and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come, and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it, and eat it at her hand. It doesn't say the rest. But we know what the rest is. See, what Jonadab did, he said, listen, this is how you set the scenario. Isn't it weird how just about everybody's got a friend that'll help you set the scenario? Listen, this is how you do this. What you're going to do is you're going to file one of these, you're going to do this. What you'll do is you'll get everything together. And I had a friend one time, we were in high school. He's like, hey, listen, I really want to get to know this girl better, but I don't think she recognized me. She doesn't like me. There's no way we'll ever go on a date together. I don't even think she sees me. I go, here's what we'll do. We'll get a big old group together and we'll just kind of hang out and you'll get to know her that way. That's safe. That's good. Not a big fan of dating at a young age. Not a big fan of this world's version of dating, period. But safe. It's good. What this guy is doing, He's setting them up to hurt this young person, to hurt this young woman. And there's a lot of things that have gone terribly wrong up to this point. And of course, if we continue reading, which I am nervous to do with children in the room, if we continue the reading, you know what happens. He does exactly that. She says no, he does it anyway. She is in pain. She is shamed. She goes through all sort of emotional trauma because of his decision. And the moment he has achieved what he has wanted to, His heart changes. It is no longer, I love Tamar. He's angry at her. He hates her. He wants her out, and he throws her out, proving to us that it's not love. It is desire. It is conquest. How does a young person get to this point? How does anybody get to this point? In order to get there, several other things have to go wrong. First, let me tell you what didn't happen. What did not happen was God did not make Amnon do this to hurt David. God does not tempt us to evil. God does not put evil into our minds to go do. Amnon already had this in him. God did not wound Tamar and irritate Absalom. Didn't cause this damage to her to get to David. David did this as his own self. David brought this about into his home. And God, to fulfill his promise, lifted his hand of protection and let it happen. There are things in our lives that are there that God has put there to protect us from vile things. Particularly from doing vile things. And when God removes his protective hand up, trouble befalls us. Oh, I got a sad story for you. Yesterday, I'm walking down the hallway here, and I see this lady come running across the street, and she's got a blanket, and she just lays the blanket down on our side of the street in front of the fence over there. And I go, now what's going on there? And nervous to go out and just kind of intervene, I go over to the cameras to see what's going on. And I look at the cameras and I see that what had happened was a dog had gotten loose and was hit on the street out here. And I seeing that, I go running out there. What's going on? How can I help you? What can I do? And it wasn't the young lady there anymore. It was a young man. And he's crying. Because I don't care what you say. Those are man's best friends. I'm sorry. I'd rather lose a limb sometimes, but I'm just telling you. And he's sitting there, and I'm like, what happened? A dog got hit. And I go, was it yours? Goes, yeah. What had happened was the dog was secure inside the home. Four walls, big doors, things locked. Well, he had somebody come on all over, and they were doing some work in the house. I left the door open. The dog got out. And he said, I think the dog just wanted to go out for a run. I don't know. I go, what kind of dog was it? And they said, Shepherd and Husky. I go, oh, it was running. I don't know. We trained a Husky one time in our home. Got it from my aunt. We raised it. We trained it. Got it all ready for it to go off. Presumably it's somewhere up north right now. Still either running or at this point I think it's retired. Beautiful dog, red. That dog got loose. That husky got loose. It was running. And it was not coming back. Those dogs, they've been known to run for 2 days before they'll come to their senses and decide to come back. That's how big of a tank they got on them to just be able to run wild. So I was watching the video, and sure enough, that's what that dog was doing. Playing back and forth across the street, running up and down the road. Having a good time. You'd almost see the big old smile. It was safe in the house. It was safe in the yard. See, this world, the devil, he has twisted things. Oh, the regulations, the rules, the things that are there, they're there to restrict you. They're not. They're there to protect you. It is not to control you. It is not to limit you. It is not to hurt you. It is not because God is, as I have said, a cosmic killjoy, looking down to what brings you joy and then going, no. It is to keep the devil out of your life. You, hey, you want some of this? No. Why? Because I'm a part of an oppressive hierarchy controlled by religious books and tomes and people getting together and saying things. No, that's dangerous. God said, don't do that, and you're not getting me. You're not getting me. It's bait. Well, what's the matter? Imagine Brother Dennis going out fishing, and there's two fish inside, and one of them goes, oh, that looks real good. And the other fish goes, well, I don't think we should do this. And the other fish goes, well, what's the matter? Are you afraid of a good time? What's the matter? Are you afraid of delicious flavor? Don't you want a piece of that worm? Don't you want a piece of whatever that is? And his freedom kills him. Because there's a difference between freedom and reckless abandon. You following me on this? Those rules, those guideposts, they are there to protect you and the people you love. They are there to keep you in good standing with God. They are not there just because they're arbitrarily there. There is a purpose and a reason. There are rules for marriage, and David was breaking them. Consider the house of David. How many wives did David have? David had 8 wives. That's 7 too many. Who was his first wife? His first wife? Micah, right? That was his first wife. King Saul gave his daughter to him. Never had any kids by her that we know of. As a matter of fact, the Bible says at one particular point, Lord made sure she couldn't. However, he did not stop there. The next one that he would marry was Abigail. Remember, he got into that conflict with that man, and he died, and he married her. And then you know who else he married? After Saul died, you know who else he married? He married Saul's wife. Now, I want you to do some thinking here. He married Micah's mother. You ever consider that? I brought that up to somebody one time. Well, why would Amnon do this, given that David was so strict on things? He wasn't. And then another wife, and another wife, and another wife, and 8 wives. Imagine that. At one point, he had wives. At one point, he had wives. And if he was in the particular mood to do so, could have gone and visited any of those wives. But instead, he went to where he knew nudity would be, saw something he liked, and I can't prove this, but it's my opinion. I don't think Bathsheba wanted to go with David. I can't prove it. But I don't think she was like, ooh, the king, upgrade. I don't think that was her opinion. I think it was, if I don't go with him, it could hurt my husband's career. It could hurt my life. It could hurt our prospects here. It could hurt my children. I got to go with him. I don't think she had a choice, which to me is tantamount to almost the same thing that Amnon did. He touched a woman that was not his to do so. And that is the home Amnon grew up in. I love studying David's life. But we cannot deny the fact that the sins of the father not just affect the children, but affect the whole house. And moms, you're not off the hook either. The double standard we draw, the lack of consistency we example, will come back and hurt the people in our family. Absolutely will, every time. The other part of the problem that we have here is, you know, David could have sat there and taught his boys how to be gentlemen, but his example didn't show it. But something must be said about the father that takes his sons aside and says, listen, this is what a relationship between a man and a woman is, and nothing else. It cannot be found on the internet. It cannot be found on the television or in the movies. This is the love between a man and a woman, and it is nothing else. We take, you know what the average introduction to pornography is for kids now? It's 11 to 13. 11 to 13. And with children getting unfettered access to the internet sooner and sooner, and curiosity and questions that they've got to answer because of the stuff that they see, they're going to keep getting it sooner and sooner. And look at this world! How many violent offenses do we see that have to do with this? Far too many. This world has a big debate when it comes down to sexuality. Well, it's not about women needing to dress proper. You ought to teach men not to stare. Remember that commercial, that Ortega taco shell commercial, where they were like, soft taco, hard taco, soft taco, hard taco. And the little girl goes, why not both? And they go, yay! I think about it every time I think of debates like this. Well, should we teach the young women to dress proper? Or should we teach the young men to have respect for women? And I'm taco person. Why not both? Why not teach her to respect her body and teach him to respect her body as well as his eyes? Oh no. I'm either not man enough or I'm not feminist enough. But if we wanted to be godly, if we wanted to have safe homes filled with people who were safe people, we need to honor God. We need to honor God. I have three boys and one girl, and I am looking at this world, and I am terrified. I'm terrified. I've got three boys. I am I am very invested in what kind of man they become. Every word said to their mother, I know, and I have to watch, and I have to regard, because if I do it wrong, they'll pick it up and carry it to their wives. How I respect her, how I speak to her, the way I behave around other women has to be tailored, number one, to honor God, and number two, because I've got six little eyes looking at me. I want them to grow up to be safe men. Men who are safe, but not useless. Men who know when to fight. Men who know when violence is necessary, but men who are not violent for the sake of it. Men who would not make a woman feel unsafe. So I teach them respect. I teach them manners and I pray. But I know this, like David should have known this, that my example will always outspeak my words. I want to raise the kind of boys to when they do fall in love with a woman, then they show up at her house and their mom and their dad examines them. I want that mom and dad to be impressed by my children. I want three young women out there to find my boys to be wonderful providers, kind and gentle souls, wonderful providers and protectors of their home. I got a little girl. I want her to grow up to look for that particular man. I want her to grow up looking for a man who will treat her like that and none others. None others. You know what the percentage is of the people who claim to be a part of the LGBTQ crowd, the sodomite crowd? Do you know what they claim? They claim a significant percentage of them have been abused either sexually or physically, or witnessed a parent abused in such a way in their youth. You know what the percentage of them is? 83%. Prior to my generation, Probably after my generation is where it really ramps up, because in my generation we didn't have personal computers until we had them, but you had to be rich to have them, up until like high school. But after that, or prior to that, a boy's first introduction to pornography or sexually illicit material, where do you think that was? Underneath dad's mattress. Statistically, that's what they say. Where are other things that teach young men these things to treat women in this way? The television. I look back to, you know, some of the things we got at Disney Plus, and I'll watch back some of those TV shows and some of those movies. I'll try to, this was a great movie. And I'll go to turn it on and I go, oh no. No, that was terrible. My mom should never have let me watch that. There was a movie, one of my favorite movies growing up, Blank Check. It's about a young boy who meets this criminal. Criminal gets out of jail. He's got $1 million. He's trying to money launder $1 million. He hits this kid's bike. He writes him a check, says, here, cash it for whatever. And the boy just so happens to write down $1 million. He gets $1 million out of the bank because the bank's part of the money laundering thing. It's a whole thing. Don't go watch it. Part of the movie is he falls in love with this lady. And at the end of the movie, he kisses her in a romantic way. And that's the thing. He's got a crush on her. He wants to go out on a date on her. And it's a huge part of the movie. I rushed to turn that thing off. I forgot all about that. All I remember from that movie was the great big Rubbermaid trash can filled with ice cream. I'm like, the kids are going to get a kick out of that and all the stuff he bought with $1 million. And I saw, we've paraded that stuff. You know what else I found recently? Remember that show, Tool Time. It's a Home Improvement. Remember that? You remember those little boys that were in the sons? Do you remember what they did to them as they were growing up? They put them on the cover of Teen Beat magazine. Called them heartthrobs. Called them sexy. Is that appropriate adult behavior for 10, 11, 12, 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds? Is that normal, regular behavior? No. No, it's not, but we did it. Not we. I mean, I don't think any of us edited the magazine. I don't even think I was allowed to buy them. We just didn't have the money, but that's what they did. We've been hypersexualizing children for a very long time in this country, and we failed to look at it until now. We got the drag queens wanting to go to strip clubs and watch them perform. And we go, how did this happen? It's because we didn't watch the door. And many of us can sit there as members of a church for a long period of time. Again, I was a child for a certain period of time, and now here we are. And I'm preaching, I'm hooting, and I'm hollering. And just like you were members of this church, you were talking against it for a very long time. And there's not much we can do individually like this. But as a society, this is what we did. This is what we have done. It is what we continue to do. And then we wonder why kids are the way they are. We provide a poor sexual example. A poor gender role example in the home. We sin out loud for the kids to see as though God's not watching us. And then we sit there and we wonder, well, why did the kids come out that way? Now listen, I got an asterisk. Do the best you can, sin will still get you. I want to be clear. I don't want anybody sitting there looking at everything your kid did wrong. And sit there and go, well, what? How is this my fault? What did I do? What could I have? Sometimes sin will get you. All right, I know a family in particular where while the oldest son was in the pulpit, the other son was in prison. All right, some things you just can't prevent. But if you're not doing the work, what are you doing? If you're not doing the work, what are you doing? I lock my door. Why do I lock my door? Well, if somebody really wanted to get in, they could get in, right? Yeah, but I like them having a few minutes. I like a couple of minutes for me to get what I need to get when I have, you know, sudden visitors. And Hans likes a good stretch before he gets going. Love having a German Shepherd. We had something in the backyard last night. I don't know what it was, but it got exercise. Had to have been 2 o'clock in the morning. Probably something small, but Hans heard it. Let him out of the crate, beelines towards that back door. I let him out, rockets out into that backyard. I just saw him pacing and running and jetting across. By the time I got the light on, whatever it was is over the fence and gone. I love having that dog. Man, he just hears things. Now, if you know him, he turns into a pile of butter. Like, that's just... But man, I love having him. He lets me know stuff's going on. There was one time one of the kids was stuck. And like an episode of Lassie. Poking at me, prodding at me. What? 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 And he's running up and down the stairs. I go up there. Dad! Dad! Oh, yeah, I got you, buddy. I got you. Love that. Gives me a warning sign. And as Brother Clark preached at our conference, we need the guard dogs. I think he called them old dogs, but I'm not that bold. We need the guard dogs. Because essentially that's what it is. We need to be those guard dogs. Well, that's for my husband to deal with, or well, that's for my wife to deal with. Listen, I am just as much trying to raise a young woman to look for a good, godly young man as I am looking to raise 3 young men to be good, godly men. How I behave in the home, what I teach in the home, matters. Matters greatly. We have known this for a long time, how a man treats his wife deeply affects the marriages of the kids in the home. David made mistakes. And in these mistakes, it led to the perfect opportunity for certain sins to take place. Gideon's got a little frog. Well, it's a big frog now. And he's got moss down there at the bottom, a certain kind of moss, a very special kind of moss. Danielle knows all about it. Biology major, she knows what she's doing. This is the kind of moss they need. This is the kind of heat he needs. There's the perfect condition. There's one problem that we've recently discovered, and that is that old frog does not eat all of its food. So the worms are enjoying, it eats worms, the worms are enjoying the moss and the heat and whatever it can get. We found a small colony of its food living underneath it. And I'm sitting there going, well, how does that happen? Does it look like they're kind of, looks like they're, like, we didn't buy this. I mean, like, we could stop buying them for a while. What's going on? We created the perfect habitat for the frog and the perfect habitat for the pests. When we refuse to teach the coming up generation the purpose of purity and godly morality, when we refuse or fail to demonstrate said things in front of them, when we are comfortable disobeying God in front of them, we create the perfect petri dish for disaster. Now, could disaster happen anyway? The land of the dying. It's a sinful place. But if we put no barriers, there's no guard dog, there's no locks on the door to prevent, we are welcoming danger. The groundwork was all set. A poor example of marriage. 8 wives married to a mother and daughter. Wouldn't that be fun to be married to your mother-in-law too? I've never, for as much as people joke, you know, I know a lot of people get along with their mother-in-law. I know it's a cliche, but I've never met too many that are like, man, I wish I could marry both my wife and my mother-in-law. But that's what he did. It's not a good example. And some of the wives that he picked up were not out of love. They were for political purposes, but he was still having children with them. It is not a godly example. If David had properly taught the boys, he would have recognized a problem. When we're teaching our kids at home different things, I can pick up on certain problems. Oh, you're not paying attention to your class. Well, how do you know that? I go, well, you see how you filled out this paper that you had to do for school?
Yeah.
And then all the days prior, you got A's. Like all of them, good answers, good answers, good answer, good answer. You got to this point, today's lecture, and you got them wrong or you left them blank. Aha. We've got some, like for me, I passed it down, the math gene. I hate math. You know how some people, they've got the thing with the words where the words dance around? I do that with numbers. They bounce around on me. And I had a hard time with math growing up. One of my kids, they have a hard time with math. By teaching them, you know what we did? We picked up on it. You're having a hard time with this. And you know what that allows us to do? Not only do once we see the problem, we know that there's a problem there, but it allows us to fix that problem. You need extra help. That's no big deal. We'll help you out. When you properly teach your children God's rules, when you properly teach your children God's way of things, you can spot the problems a little easier than if you don't do it at all. Oh, they'll still fib on you. You'll still get one whiz by you every now and then. But he would have seen that there was some kind of perversion, and maybe he did. We don't know. Maybe he did. But for whatever reason, David did not detect the perversion in his own home. And it's quite possibly because he was dealing with that of his own. We cannot help our children if we ourselves are drowning. Be they adult children or children. We can't help anybody if we're stuck in sin. The Bible says, remove first the mote from your eye before you go for the splinter in somebody else's. When it comes down to making sure that this world is living in purity, we have to first make sure that it's true with inside the church. And we have all heard horror stories, and I pray you've never been a part of one, where things went wrong. Bad wrong. And it's sad, and it's a miserable affair. But it must be taken care of. And then we hold aloft the word of God. Well, do we have to wait? You better not wait to repent. That's all I got to say. Don't wait to repent. You don't know what God is going to do while you're playing around. You don't wait. You repent now. And then we hold the word of God up. And we say, thus saith the Lord. You know, there's couples out there where the guy was born a guy and the girl was born a girl. Isn't that the dumbest statement you've ever heard? Makes me want to hit myself in the head with a stick just for saying it. Like 50 years ago, if a pastor in a church said, well, a guy was born a guy, you'd sit there and say, oh, he's losing it. But now I have to say that. It's ridiculous. Sorry. Guy was born a guy, girl was born a girl. Guy decided he wanted to be a girl, so he got some surgery. Girl decided she wanted to be a guy, so she got some surgery. They stayed married. Sorry, that's inordinate affection. It's wrong. It's unnatural. Well, what about two guys? It's unnatural. That's not the way God designed you to be. That's hateful. No, that's science. Try and try all you want. They've done studies, big studies. We've spent money, the government spent money, studying a homosexual family versus a heterosexual family. Like, well, their kids tend to, it's not their kids! They're adopted! You can't do what you're doing and create people! You could only adopt other kids. It's unnatural. And if we continue on in this fashion, we will have worse sin. No. All right, so we had the Sodomites getting married, and then what? Well, now they want kids. And every now and then, springing up here or there, what do we see? In the news just recently, in the last week, there was these social media stars, these two dads got arrested for molesting their adopted children. And those stories just pop up everywhere, but shh. Those are children we're feeding into that, but whatever. And then we see this recently where, because there's some heat being turned up on the molestation of children, the gay and trans people are going, oh, they're coming after us next! And I go, that's a weird thing to say. That if I were to chase these mongrels, you think I'd end up at your door. That's what we call saying the quiet part out loud. Those are the subtitles you weren't supposed to read. Those are the subnotes. You weren't supposed to read those. This world is a despicable place. When I was a kid, I'd sit there and I'd read the book of Revelation, and I would see God's destruction on the earth and all the people dying. And I would sit there and say, why? Why would God do that? Well, that seems like such a big thing. And now that I get to see the world more and more, and the people that are being hurt, and how they're being hurt, and the things that they're doing, the more I sit there and I go, no, that makes sense. From these two guys who adopted kids just to, all the way down to that poor dog getting hit. Man, I'm still crying. Breaks my heart. I sit there so often in my life, we got to leave this world behind. We got to get out of here. Crazy. Crazy, crazy. We have to cling to godly values. Without them, we see what takes place. And man, I wish I was even halfway done with that sermon, but I'm already 5 minutes past, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I hate this. I hate that people have been hurt like this. I hate that this world is a machine that keeps presenting stuff to kids and turning these kind of people out. Father, we need to understand as a nation, as a society, as a world, as long as we're presenting children with these disgusting images, Lord, we'll continue to turn out predators. Lord, I pray that you stop this kind of violence in our world. I pray, Father, that you protect our families, protect our children from this kind of violence. Lord, I pray that you help us to shine a light, to scare this darkness away. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.